any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, municipality, individual, or anyone or anything.
He's a surgeon. He's a 100-ton boat captain. He's a lieutenant on Seaside Heights Beach Patrol in New Jersey. He's a member of the Coast Guard Auxiliary. He's Dr. Michael Ketchmar. Need answers to your medical questions? We have them. Listen in to hear latest on medical topics related to all that and more.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Michael Ketchmar. Welcome to Scrubbing Up with Dr. Michael Ketchmar. Today's date is February, I think it's the 20th of the year of our Lord, 2024 A.D., and we're here back again. We have Jeremy. Jeremy, you want to say hello?
Hey, everybody. How you doing? Gerald Dahl, Jeremy.
What? So, yeah. You know, we had a little absence. We've been doing these shows for about, what, 3 years now?
Yeah.
We were on WOBM for a while, and then we started doing our podcast. We're on all of the major podcasts. Can you put our email up, Jeremy? Just for everybody to know, I'm a physician. I work out of multiple hospitals. I'm a foot and ankle surgeon, and my name is Dr. Michael Ketchmar, and Jeremy's going to try to put it up here. So this is my email address if anybody wants to grab a hold of us. It's drketchmar@icloud.com. That's drketchmar@icloud.com. So we, Jeremy is my sidekick, and I'm the moderator here. And we talk about medicine. We talk about politics. What, I think you said a fixed
Mixed bag.
A mixed bag.
We were thinking about rebranding the show and maybe calling it the mixed bag because we always say,
We talk about
that's
everything.
That's what we talk. So right. The mixed bag with Dr. Michael Ketchmar is what I'm thinking. we're still thinking about it.
Well, our whole thing is that we look at medicine and over the past few years with this coronavirus, politics and medicine were really hand in hand. And we're going to, everything we talk about does have some medical ramifications in it. One of the things that we're going to talk about today, which is very interesting, and it's on a lot of people's minds, is this Tucker Carlson interviews That's of right. Vladimir Putin. And you say, well, what does medicine have to do and why we're looking at it? Well, my thing with this, with what's going on in Ukraine, forget about we should be there, not should be there. But if people are all saying, the Russians are bad, you got to get rid of Putin, bad, bad. Okay, well, how does that happen? In other words, it's all good to say that. It's just like, I want to get rid of, you want to get rid of your girlfriend or you want to get rid of your house, you want to get a new job, But how do you actually do that? Well, right now there's a war going on, and there's tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of soldiers that are dying on both sides. Now, they're running out of men. I think what I hear and I read is that Ukraine is running out of men. I think the average age now is like 40 years old of soldiers in the Ukraine army. Now, if we, the United States, want to keep funding this, okay, fine. But what happens, what's next? What that next could be is that we need to get involved with soldiers. In the United States. Well, we don't have enough soldiers. People don't want to volunteer. So the next thing is we're going to have to start bringing back the draft and drafting kids.
Right.
So the question is, and
you brought up the draft. This is an interesting question I wanted to broach you. Where do you see the Ukraine war stacked up against wars like
Vietnam, Korea.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's interesting because the Vietnam War, we fought that against communism, mm-hmm. and actually the Korean War was the Chinese. Yeah. If you talk to soldiers or look at the history, it was North Korea, but we were fighting the Chinese when we were at the all the way up at the Chinese border. The Chinese sent a million soldiers down and pushed us all the way back to the 46th parallel. Vietnam was the communist China. I mean, we were fighting the communists. It's always the communists. And Russia is involved. But Russia is not the only communist country. You have a big one. It's China. And for that matter, South America. There's communists. But the big thing is, Cuba. So my point here, though, and then we'll look at this interview.
Vietnam, wouldn't they... we weren't allowed to call that a war.
It was a police action.
A police action.
Right.
So where does Ukraine stack up?
Well, we don't know. You know, I tell you what, it looks to me like it's going towards a Vietnam or a Korea.
Right.
Those wars, we lost 50,000 men. This time, we could lose hundreds of thousands. So the big question to Generation Z?
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the age group. Are you guys willing and able to? Willing to fight and possibly die for Ukraine. Because we may have to bring back the draft and you guys may have to fight. So everybody's talking about democracy. You know, we're going to spend money. But eventually, we could throw all the money in the world. You know, I don't know. I think you have soldiers and people die in war. Who's going to fight? The Germans, the British? Like in World War II, you had the Allies. So you had all the countries got together, you know, who fought against Hitler. Were the Americans, were the British, were the Australians, the Canadian, and a whole bunch of others. And in the beginning of the war, we fought the Italians and the Russians, because then the Russians, you know, came on our side. My point is, though, let's listen to this interview because this is interesting.
Yeah.
And Jeremy, you could, go to the iPad. We're gonna play this. We're gonna start this up in a minute. So hit that iPad icon here. Okay. So let me start this. Okay.
The following is an interview with the President of Russia, Vladimir Putin, shot February 6, 2024, at about 7 p.m. in the building behind us, which is, of course, the Kremlin. The interview,
is
primarily about the war in progress, the war in Ukraine, how it started, what's happening, and most pressingly, how it might end. One note before you watch. At the beginning of the interview, we asked the most obvious question, which is, why did you do this? Did you feel a threat, an imminent physical threat? And that's your justification. And the answer we got shocked us. Putin went on for a very long time, probably half an hour, about the history of Russia going back to the 8th century.
This interview was 2 hours.
And honestly, we thought this was a filibustering technique and found it annoying and interrupted him several times. And he responded he was annoyed. By the interruption. But we concluded in the end, for what it's worth, that it was not a filibustering technique. There was no time limit on the interview. We ended it after more than 2 hours. Instead, what you're about to see seemed to us sincere, whether you agree with it or not. Vladimir Putin believes that Russia has a historic claim to parts of Western Ukraine. So our opinion would be to view it in that light as a sincere expression of what he thinks. And with that, here it is.
Here we go.
Mr. President, thank you. On February 22nd, 2022, you addressed your country in a nationwide address when the conflict in Ukraine started. And you said that you were acting because you had come to the conclusion that the United States, through NATO, might initiate a, quote, surprise attack on our country. And to American ears, that sounds paranoid. Tell us why you believe the United States might strike Russia out of the blue.
He knows it's a street fight.
It's not that America, the United States, was going to launch a surprise strike on Russia. I didn't say that. Are we having a talk show or a serious conversation?
And I think he knows English. I think he knows English. You know,
it's a formidable serious talk.
Because your basic education is in history, as far as I understand.
Yes.
So if you don't mind, I will take only 30 seconds or 1 minute to give you a short reference to history for giving you a little historical background.
Please.
Let's look where our relationship with Ukraine started.
Yeah.
Let me put this on hold for a second.
I'm trying.
No, I do it here. I do it here. So we just put it on hold. So here's the thing. What I think is very interesting, and you mentioned this before, you said to me, how many people interviewed Putin? Now, he was interviewed years ago. It was a great honor. I mean, remember all the celebrities that went to Russia and met Putin?
Yeah.
You know, he's a rock star. And, of course, you know, years ago, we journalists would interview a lot of people. So I don't know. You asked me why, you know, it was so controversial, why everybody's all bent out of shape.
Let's just say it clear. The media went nuts when they found out that Tucker Carlson was not only going to interview him, but he's going to Russia.
Maybe they're jealous because they couldn't get an interview with him.
But no, but
you know how many views he has so far? I think this is like 200, 300 million views.
Because after all the stuff that was done and has been done, especially with the Ukraine thing and for anything, the back when the Russian colluding thing, when supposedly Putin's supposed to be chit-chatting with Trump Tucker actually asks him about it.
Yeah, so do you want to listen anymore to this, or we want to just talk about it?
No, we could just talk about it.
Yeah, so let me, go back to the regular camera here. You know, so I think it was just important that we premise what was going on here. And I have a couple points about this. The one thing is that I've been watching this for years and years, you know. Yeah. Russia, and specifically Ukraine, has been in the public eye for years and years. Remember with McCain, they had a coup going on. He was involved, you know, and we've been involved there a long time.
Yeah.
The one argument on one side is that Putin is not going to take over the world. Again, I'm naive. I'm not CIA. I have no idea. And I would not sit here and propose to say this. But this is, you know, I'm just the common Joe. I read. I try to understand what's going on. But, you know, and I look at history, and I was around for the Vietnam War. My father fought in World War II. You know, a Korean War, my uncles. So, and I, you know, I mean, war is terrible. So getting back to this, you know, Russia, there's arguments here that they're going to take over the world. He's going to, you know, move on Poland and all, and, you know, I don't know. I mean, to me, I don't see any evidence of that. So I say to the people out there, show me that evidence. So that's number one. He may, you know, with this interview, and what I'm understanding is that he wants to protect and have, Ukraine as a buffer zone. He doesn't want it to be part of NATO. He doesn't want missiles, you know, there, nuclear weapons. And so I think that part of that is that they want to have their own sovereignty. Now, you remember, there's about 100 million Russians. They don't have a big army. You know, they're not as sophisticated as the United States with regard to military, I don't think. But they're a formidable power. They probably have as many nuclear weapons as us. So how are we going to destroy, you know, the Soviet Union? You know, okay, you're going to overthrow Putin. It seems to me like the country's doing very well economically, and they love him. You know, a lot of people. Now, again, this is, I don't know, I'm not there, but I read the news and everything. And I don't know how much of it's bullshit, but you know, to me, it looks like the guy is pretty well,
with it too.
So,
because you have to bear in mind also from the people's point of view, what we've been getting from media sources and such was that he was actually in quite ill health. And that
he looks pretty good to me.
He did, didn't he?
He looks like here's what I want to tell everybody out there.
Sly.
Right. Here's what I want to say to everybody. You know what? Again, we don't know. I watched like Hawaii 5-0. I watched the old Mission Impossible. And there's movies out there. I understand that like I remember The Good Shepherd, you know, the movie. And they were talking to I think it was Joe Pesci, his character. He was talking to Matt Damon, who's the CIA individual. Right. And he says, you know, he goes, you guys start all the wars. He goes, no, we keep the wars small. That's what he said, you know. So, you know, the bigger picture, we are totally naive to. But here's the thing I do know. I look at what went on in World War I, World War II.
Right.
You know, you read the history, the bullshit that went on. The Vietnam War, we were winning it. And then you had, you know, then we weren't winning it, right? They lied to us. We were bullshitted,
yeah.
Right? You know, but a lot of people say, hey, you know, we had to fight communism. You had the thing, if people forget about, like with Reagan, the Contra affair, you know, we were trying to stop communism in South America. I mean, it's a real thing, but now you have Afghanistan. You know, now we blow out of the air, reminding me of Vietnam. That was the most that was ridiculous when we pulled out of Afghanistan. People jumping on the planes and everything. That's just exactly what we did in Vietnam. And you know what? Now they're supposedly open up Al-Qaeda training camps.
That will one day be like, they'll be showing that in history classes.
Right. So let's get back to this thing with the Ukraine. I don't know how important it is for us to be there. Mm-hmm. I don't have, you know, but here, to me, a lot of American public don't see the threat. But you have people like Lindsey Graham and Nikki Haley, you know, Republicans and Democrats pushing for war. I mean, they want a war. They want to destroy Putin. Their rhetoric is he's a killer, especially now that one of his rivals has died. And, well, you know, first of all, Putin's a killer, but who's killing the people are soldiers.
Very interesting.
No, but you know, it's the soldiers that are killing. You know, my point about this whole thing is, where's the end game? Let's play chess. We're right. playing chess.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Okay. Checkmate or check. We want to destroy Putin. We want to destroy the Russian people. We want to destroy. What do we really want to do? And how does that happen? Right now, you have what I see, and the numbers are out there, all different kinds. I don't know, 100,000, 300,000 soldiers have died. For perspective, in the Vietnam War, we lost about 50,000 Americans, 50,000. In Korea, we lost about 50,000. Now, World War II, we lost about 500,000. Now, you know, it's interesting. In Europe, during World War II, Russia lost about 20 million soldiers. Germany, millions, you know. There's an estimated most of the deaths were in Europe. You know, we haven't seen that level of carnage. Now, so we want it. We're all sitting here, you know, and a lot of the young kids today, you know, Taylor Swift and all of that. Well, you know, we're going to get rid of Trump. We're not, you know. We would not be in Ukraine right now if Trump was president. That's my opinion.
Oh no, we wouldn't be.
Israel would not be in this predicament. Also, because that's another whole thing that could put the world in fire. If Trump was in president, because he would have been working on the Abraham Accords, and Saudi Arabia would have recognized Israel and probably wouldn't have went down. Same thing with here. Now, getting back to the premise here, what are we going to do? Okay, we want to destroy him. All right, let's vote for Biden. Fine, get him in. Biden's going to be next president, or Nikki Haley, or what's it, Newsom, or Barack Obama's wife. Kumbaya, good
Biden.
Luck.
Listen, the next president.
Listen, again. I don't give a shit. But my point is, what's going to happen is, if the Democrats or some of these Republicans get in, they're going to prostrate. They're going to continue on with this war.
Yeah.
And what I'm worried about is that we're going to have American soldiers go in there, and if they do that, there's a good chance you're going to get the draft back. Now, you could dodge the draft. You could do a lot of things. Right, but I could see the draft coming back, and these people, these Generation Z, you're gonna get a letter, and this is how it's gonna work. I'm gonna give you a premise, Jeremy, because this is what happened in the Vietnam War, and I've seen it firsthand. I just missed out on it. I got a draft card, but I was still too young. But my uncle and my uncle's friends, you get a letter in the mail. You got 30 days to report to the base.
Yeah,
whether that's his camp, you know, Camp Pendleton, wherever, and you got to go to you get on it, and that's it. You pack your bags and you leave. You get there, they shave your head, they give you your clothes, and there you belong to them. There was a kid holding up a sign, right? I remember he was protesting abortion. He goes, "When did the government ever control a male's body?" Because you know, he says, because his premise is that we're controlling women's body with abortion. Well, I can tell you right now, your ass is there. You don't listen to them. If you say I don't want to go into the military, they could arrest you. You could go to jail. They'll put you in Fort Leavenworth. You still can't burn a draft card. You know, it's against the law. You could burn the American flag, but you can't burn a draft card. So anyway, this is where I think it's an interesting thing. Where is the end game? Forget about arguing why we're there, should we be there, you know, but to win, to beat Putin with as much nuclear weapons as we do, right? You're gonna start lobbing nuclear weapons? No. You know, can you hit them economically? Well, you know what? He's selling oil to China. He's hooked up with China. China's loaded. So I don't see us killing him economically. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna have this war on the ground, and how many American soldiers? So I'm gonna say this before you come in,
Go
Jeremy.
Ahead.
Will you, Jeremy, or your kids, are you willing to fight and possibly die for Ukraine?
No. I don't even have to think about that.
Okay.
Last week you gave me this really difficult question to answer that one. No brainer. No.
How many kids in this country, Generation Z, think are willing to do that?
I don't know what they're willing to do now. I mean, they certainly can't do anything. I mean, like the training they would need to actually go to war would be I mean, just mental, you know?
Well, the thing is, people don't understand. They you know, everybody thinks about democracy. Democracy, where you have a say in what you do with your life or liberty, is gone in a war.
Yeah.
Talk to soldiers in World War II. Talk to Vietnam War. Talk to Korea. You got drafted. I was around for the Vietnam War. And people, these young people say, it can never happen, Dr. Kaczmar. It can never happen. Okay. You know what they did in World War II? They bought, the Japanese bought, first of all, when, if people got to understand history, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt was running for his, I don't know, second term, or just before the war in the 30s, he ran on a platform saying, no, our boys are not going to go over to Europe and fight. Hitler, they were fighting over there.
Yeah.
And they felt it was a European war. They didn't want to have nothing to do with it. Of course, about 6 months later or whatever, I guess he got elected in election was what, November? I think so, maybe 3 months later. When was Pearl Harbor? December, what was it? Live in infamy.
Wasn't Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor. No, Pearl Harbor. Yeah,
the infamy thing was... No, it was
Pearl Harbor. He declared war on Japan.
Hindenburg.
No.
A day they'll live on in infamy.
No. That was different. No.
The hypocrisy. No.
So what I'm saying is that his rhetoric was, and what happened is, they bombed Pearl Harbor. Everybody in this country wanted to join. My father wanted to join. Uncles, you know, Perry, we're going to get the, you know, go after those guys. And it was all about the Japanese.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, we had to go fight in Europe. But after that initial patriotic exuberance.
Yeah, that's a good
sobriety,
word for it.
Yeah. You know, people, emotion. Well, right. Then they started saying, well, wait a minute, you know, I could die. I could, you know, I don't want to lead the farm. I don't want to. So what happened is people started saying, no, I don't want to go fight. So the draft had to start kicking in, and they started drafting people. And there's a book written, and there's a movie. It's called the Private Kovac. I might be wrong on this.
Huh.
And they tried him. He didn't want to fight, you know, because you could be a conscientious objector, but you still got to fight. He didn't want to fight. I think he's found guilty. They put him on a firing squad and they shot him. So your option was after that, either you fight, you could be a conscientious objector, but you're going there with a gun, you know, you could be a medic, or you got 20 years hard labor in Fort Leavenworth or execution. You know, you get a firing squad. Go back and look at Lincoln's day. How many people...
Who is this we're talking about now?
World War II. When they brought the draft in. You were not allowed. You cannot run away from it. My point I'm making is that
I was thinking about that kid who he was against firing a weapon, and he went in, and they sent him out to
That was another guy. He was a marksman. Yeah, that was this movie's about that.
No, he wasn't a marksman. He wouldn't touch a gun. And he was a medic. He wanted to
There's another movie about that. Yeah. I don't remember that. He brought out a whole bunch of people. But
Andrew something.
Right. But you still had to go. My point is that I'm talking about now, even during Lincoln's time, President Lincoln, you know, everybody says he's the greatest president, and I think he was. But if you were refused to fight, or you were cowardice and you ran off the battlefield, or you deserted, they'd hang you. They'd convict, and he used to have to sign the death warrants, you know. So the government has a lot of power. My point is, it's all great. We could sit here. I was watching NSNBC and, you know, all these Nikki Haley, and they might be right. Maybe we're going to have to fight. But understand, people, understand, if we take this to the next level, you're going to have to go. Your sons and daughters are going to have to fight. And you know what? I want to know if the elite in this country are gonna get deferments and not have to fight. So my question again is, what's the end game here, Jeremy? And it could be very, very, very brutal. And when I have these young kids tell me, we could just go to Canada. Yeah, maybe not. You may not go to Canada this time. You know, if there's still a war.
I mean, I heard who did I hear? Glenn Close, somebody. It's not furious. That Trump derangement syndrome stuff.
Oh, yeah, crazy.
And another
Bolshevik show trials. That's what you got going on.
Oh, if he becomes president, I'm going to Canada. You know,
good go one goodbye.
You know, but how many people said that the last day?
Right.
Friggin' Oprah should have been there. Whoopi Goldberg should have been there.
Jeremy, I had somebody about 2-3 months ago was telling me about January 6th. They said it was the worst thing that ever happened to the Capitol. Worst thing in history of, you know. So I go, listen, I said, you know what? Do you know that in 1954, yeah. four Puerto Rican nationalists went into the House. Congress was in session. They had automatic handguns. They unloaded 30 shots into the chambers before they were subdued. They hit six congressmen, six. Nobody died, believe it or not. They were charged, convicted, and President Carter pardoned them. 1980s. I don't remember what days, what twice.
I don't even remember twice, hearing about
twice,
that.
Twice in 1980s, a woman who belonged, this woman, her name was Susan Rosenberg. You can look it up in the internet later on.
Right.
She belonged to this Mayweather underground communist, you know, whatever. It was some kind of organization. They blew up shit all over the time. Back in the 80s, blowing up everything was the way to go. She blew up the Capitol twice. Her and her friends. When they caught her, she had like, I don't know, freaking tons of explosive on her. She got convicted and sentenced to 59 or 58 years in prison. For all, I think she supposedly killed some cops in these bombings, you know, wherever it was. President Clinton pardoned her. Now, if you really want to go back even further, 1812, the British burnt the freaking Capitol down to the ground. So the worst thing in the world, listen,
the worst thing in the world. Yeah. I mean, that's just
bullshit. Again, you know, if you talk about what's going on with Trump now, I don't want to get into a rabbit hole, but you know, this thing that's just lasting in New York City with this judge, there was no, that's a classical Bolshevik show trial, right. And there's going to be huge ramifications if that doesn't get overturned, because they basically, there was nothing there. So what's the next builder or next individual? If they don't like you, they're going to go after you politically. So anyway, I don't want to talk about that anymore. But listen, let's just talk. So let's close this thing with Tucker. Thank God, first of all, for Tucker Carlson. He's unbelievable. People say what they want, but that guy with that, he's probably 300 million people have saw in that interview, maybe more.
Talk about a hero story as well. The guy gets beat down and fired from his.
Well, he didn't get beat down. Trust me.
Well,
listen. Yeah, I shouldn't say
he
that.
Had clauses
yeah,
and stuff where he couldn't work here and there. Trust
yeah,
me,
I guess
he
you're right.
Hurt.
You're right. You're right. Hurt. You're right. You're right. I take that back. But no. The guy. Thank God we have Tucker Carlson. Thank God another guy who is Elon Musk because that guy what he did with Twitter.
Yeah,
And I want to say another thing too while we're on this bandwagon.
That was
here.
The clips that we showed earlier were from the Tucker Carlson Network. All rights. We're here supporting the guy.
Yeah, what you're going to see, you know, 100 years from now, Trump is going to be looked in a very good light. I don't know what the end of him is going to be, whether or not he's going to be president.
Yeah.
But already what he did, you know, people say all these things about him, what he's going to do when he becomes president again. He was president for 4 years. He didn't do any of that shit that they're allegating he's going to do. So, but getting the heroes, you got a lot of...
They painted it up, though. They created
something. Well, they're
scared.
They're scared, right.
Yeah, something to be complaining about for 4 years.
The other thing is what they're also going after, which I think is absolutely... Talk about going after democracy. They're going after Clarence Thomas. And this is his court, the Supreme Court. That guy is a patriot. He's a conservative. Thank God we have him on the court. That he is unbelievable. And I tell you, history 100 years from now is going to talk about what he did and what he went through. You should read about his life. Yeah. He had a tough bringing. And his wife, they're true patriots. And there's people smearing them. There's one some game show guy or some host, you know, he's a British guy. You know, he's going to give him a bus and $1 million a year. How disgraceful, how disrespectful of the highest court. You know, And here's what I know Trump goes after everybody, but we got to this point now where we don't even respect the offices, you know, of these people. But anyway, I digress. But getting back to this, let's finish this with Putin in an interview. I think that what it brought out and it needed to be done is we are having discussions now of what are we doing there? Why are we there? Where are we going to go? What's the end game? And I could tell you right now, you know, I don't believe we would be there if Trump was president. And I think that if Trump becomes president, we won't be there. We'll be out of there.
Yeah.
But if Nikki Haley or, you know, the Democrats get in, we're going to go to full war. And maybe it's not going to turn into World War III, but you're going to get drafted, and there's going to be tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of American soldiers getting killed.
Yeah.
And you're not going to have a choice in it. They're going to come.
You want to see a head spin?
I mean, you know, and it'd be interesting. This, you talk about people going crazy, and they say, oh, it'll never happen. I lived through it. I just want people, Generation Z, to go talk to the Vietnam veterans. Talk to people who lived back in the day of Carter and when we had, you know, all of this shit going down. It wasn't pleasant. It wasn't pleasant. People were dying left and right. And a lot of people got out of the draft. You know, they got exemptions and everything. So anyway, so Jeremy, let's change the thing. Don't put the thing on yet. So the next thing I want to talk about is this another thing, drug overdoses in this country. Drug overdose deaths.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And just hold. Listen, let me finish. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
When Barack Obama was in president for 8 years, it was starting to creep up. And a lot of it, and I'm talking about drug overdoses, it was 30,000, 40,000, 50,000. A lot of it was stuff coming over the border, the drugs, and specifically fentanyl. Now, it was big with one of the things that was really bad was Percocets. Remember, everybody, you know, doctors, it was all the doctors' fault. Well, now the Percocets are done. They're not even, it shut that down. But you know what? It's even worse now. So it wasn't the friggin' doctors. It was people who want to do drugs because they're depressed and all kinds of other things. Now, it got up to like 60,000, 70,000 with Barack Obama. Trump came in, closed the border, and the drug overdoses went down because it was harder to get.
Yeah.
It wasn't as much drugs. And I'm talking about fentanyl is the big one, but there's all kinds of other drugs. Right now, the cartels and China are supplying the ingredients and making the methamphetamine, which is a very powerful drug. And then there's other things. You know, there's these tranquilizers, animal tranquilizers. We did a couple shows on it. So now you have the democratic socialists in government now. Don't make any... It is not Democratic Party. These are people are democratic socialists. AOC and people like that. Go look at their web pages. Go look what they want. They want open borders, which we have. There's no border security. So they're flowing in. A lot of people say it's great. We need the work. We need the workers, you know. The other day I had a guy deliver a package to my house 10 o'clock at night and came to the door. Nice guy. I don't think he spoke any English. He looked, you know, like he was from South America. Okay, so we're hiring these people. But 10 million, 8 million, 6 million of these people coming in. And we don't even, and how many of them are special aliens, which we don't know about. But my point is the drugs are flowing into this country.
Yeah.
And I read one article. People said, well, you know what, Ketchmore? It's Americans bringing it in. Well, it's Americans and it's un-Americans, you know, not citizens. But it's coming in. And if Trump was president, we would not have this many deaths. Now, one of the reasons why Trump's not president is because the election, I'm not saying it was, you know, but you couldn't criticize the other side. You couldn't, there was a lot of things we couldn't do. We couldn't talk about the drug overdoses. We couldn't talk about, you know, Corona. We couldn't talk about everything. And who was one of the people who shut us down on Discord, on argument? Who? YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to.
Here's the thing though, like with the fentanyl going over, we should actually, it's just a speech we use. We say fentanyl coming over, and it implies to the American people that it's the people coming over and sneaking across, and they're bringing a bunch of fentanyl with them.
Well, they are.
No, but I think we should...
It's all being mailed in, too.
Yeah, but that's organized, okay?
Yeah, but what else?
This is an organized drug, like, highway.
Oh, sure.
Coming across the thing.
Sure.
Call it what that is. That's a little bit more scary than just some fentanyl coming over the border.
Oh, no. Yes. Well, there's
that's 100, my point,
right. Well, okay. So it's not, yeah. And I don't know, but I did research a little bit. It's the drug cartels. I mean, it's organized crime.
See, that's it, though. You know, yeah, but that's what it is. You know. And we're allowing, in a very certain, you know, point of view, helping them.
Well, it's
aiding them.
I can tell you what's, so my point is that I like everybody back in the day when Trump was running, you and I were sitting here, we're saying, no, this is rhetoric, this is propaganda. And Trump, on his tours, on his speeches, on his rallies, we're saying, you're going to get open borders. The drug addiction is going to get worse. They're going to go after your Second Amendment. They're going to go after religion. You know, all of these things that he said are actually coming true. And the people who are good people, don't get me wrong, a lot of these democratic socialists, you know, I they're my friends. They're my colleagues. They believe in a democratic socialist society. They actually almost like, they think that China is a great model. You know, they'll give up their freedom of speech because they don't think it's that important. They don't care about religion. A lot of them are not Christians, so they don't care about freedom because China doesn't have freedom of speech, freedom of religion. There's no freedom from fear because the government could stomp on you like a bug. The only thing is about maybe 400 million people. There's about 1.5 billion in China. About 400 million, which is the population of the United States, live high on the hog. But you know what? The rest, 1.1 billion. Live like slaves because they're making all our shit.
No hog.
They ain't getting no moss. No. So I just want to show you that what's interesting is that the people who shouted and cut us off and everything, this drug overdosing is affecting everybody. And I just want to, so now, can you go to the video screen, as they say? Remember that guy says, let's go to the video chain. So this is tragedy here. So this is a 19-year-old son of former YouTube CEO found dead at UC Berkeley. And this is horrible. I can tell you right now, Ocean County, New Jersey, where I practice at the hospital, was the epicenter before Corona hit of drug overdoses. Ocean County, I saw so many kids come in who overdosed, and we were taking their organs from them, organ. So I just want to go here a little bit here, Can you see that? So this is, it's Marco, I think, Troper. So the son of a YouTube CEO was found dead at 19. A tragedy. This is a freshman at UC Berkeley campus, was found unresponsive on Tuesday. This article, let me see, when was this written? This was done February 17th. So this is a couple days ago, right? What's today? Today's the 20th. So when was this article come out? 3 days ago. So... unresponsive Tuesday afternoon at his dormitory, spokesman said, after he was located. Okay, so shortly, and the cause of death is not currently known, but there are no signs of foul play. The grandmother now.
Wait, who's this woman in the blue?
She is the CEO, former CEO of YouTube. YouTube is the one who shut everybody down. How many times were we shut down on YouTube, Jeremy? How many times did they criticize us for talking about the COVID or talking about the drug overdoses or talking about anything? They throttled us. Well, so now this poor woman, so now what's happening is the grandmother believes that Berkeley student died of a drug overdose. I don't know. She goes here. He ingested a drug. We don't know what it was in it. One thing we do know, it was a drug. All right.
So wait, are they saying that because she was the CEO of YouTube and was responsible for chopping down any talk?
No, nobody's talking about that. That's my opinion. No. They're just saying that a kid died and he's famous because his mother was the former CEO.
But it's a bit ironic, though. I mean,
well, I'm pointing that out. Yeah. I'm pointing out multiple things. First of all, this epidemic in this country...
It's an absolute sin that boy died.
Listen, he shouldn't have died. Yeah. And my point is there's multiple things here. I want to dissect it. Number one, Jeremy, is that when Trump was in, it was going down. It was maybe 60,000 deaths. Now it's 120,000.
Yeah.
Okay? That's not even talking about the suicides. Mm-hmm. Where is it coming from? It's coming from the border. It's coming from the organized drug cartels. It's a byproduct, in my opinion, of open borders. The open borders are a byproduct. Open borders are a byproduct of this administration, Biden administration. Biden's administration is a byproduct of the propaganda that was shelled out and to villainize Trump during the election. How many people would have voted for Trump if they knew that the Russian collusion was false? Or that Biden, you know, now the stuff's that coming out about all his stuff about the laptop. How many people, the laptop, remember? The laptop, now they don't even talk about it anymore. The laptop, he said that, remember the laptop was false. Now nobody even argues that it's not real, which is another whole thing, because how the hell, if you run a criminal organization, right, like the Biden family, there's a book by Peter Schweizer called Profiles in Corruption. What gets me, if you're that sophisticated, why would you let your son, who's obviously addicted to drugs, have any access to the business at all? And to leave a laptop. I actually thought it was bullshit. I'm like saying to myself, there's no way that they're that stupid. Yeah. There's no way that they're that. That has to be a plant. And now they're coming out like, no, it's not. So not only are they, supposedly crooked, they're stupid. Yeah. which is why I always thought that the Sopranos were really scary, because those characters were dangerous and they were dumb.
Right, right. And now we know the truth that they're actually like that in real life too.
People are like that in real life. Yeah. Listen, this is I my prayers and my condolences. I lost a daughter when she was 23. Yeah. There's nothing that you could ever rebound from it. You'll never be the same. And I don't care. But you know what? Our actions and what we do and what we want to have done and have action. And I can tell you right now, we're in a crisis. This open border, it's nice to have immigration. My grandfather came here from Russia. I'm a product of immigration. I'm all for immigration, but not open borders. You know, there's a thing called special alien status or special aliens, special interest aliens. These are people who come from really bad places. We have no idea how many are here.
Right.
Remember, my granddaughter, in her book, one of her school books, it talks about Trump and how he put the ban on Muslim countries and how that was equated that to what Franklin Delano Roosevelt did with the internment camps with the Chinese, which is bullshit. They were chopping our heads off over there. You know, so they conflate everything. So now you have this. You have our kids, our young people dying. 120,000 plus, maybe more, drug overdoses in the past year, Jeremy. And that's not even talking about how many people are living in the streets, having wrecked lives, you know, really bad. So anyway, I thought that was, you know, an interesting thing. So our hearts go out, so one more here. So now let's bounce over here on keeping the steam going up. Mm-hmm. So this is where you came in. You were right on the target. So you said it's organized, right?
Yeah.
So here's your article, Jeremy. Mexican people who are on the podcast, by the way, you need to go to our Facebook or YouTube video.
Yeah.
Go to YouTube, and you can see all this stuff. I'm sorry that we do the podcast, and I try to articulate as much so people don't mm-hmm. see this, but it's so hard to do this stuff nowadays.
Some things are just visual.
Yeah, it's really visual. Yeah. So here you go. Mexican drug cartels are targeting America's last best places. Cartel associates have flooded Montana with fentanyl and methamphetamines. That's, by the way, George Floyd, right? He had on board what's called a speedball. He was high on fentanyl and methamphetamines. Did you see that interview with Tucker Carlson, by the way? It was a movie called The Falling of Minneapolis. I direct people to watch it. It's called The Falling of Minneapolis.
Really?
It talks about the George Floyd trial. Basically, what they're saying in there, it came out, and I don't see anybody defuting, saying it's slander, is that basically George Floyd, the initial autopsy, he died of cardiovascular disease, complicated by drugs and restraint. So, it's a little bit more. And also, listen to this. When he was on the ground, I watched this movie. I know we're bouncing all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
They got him out of the car, right? They got him, because they tried to put him in a police car. He wouldn't go in. They put him on the ground, right? He was on the ground. The whole time he's telling, he can't breathe, can't breathe. I watched the whole video. It's really interesting because they showed video cam that I never saw. And he was stopped one time before for, whatever. And he started saying, I can't breathe. And all. So he's been doing this before. They got him on the ground, right? Remember, 36 seconds or 38 seconds from the time he was on the ground to the time a phone call or a request was sent for the ambulance. That wasn't what I heard. I heard basically he stopped breathing, they called the ambulance.
Right.
As soon as they got him out of the car and put him on the ground, they called for an ambulance, 38 seconds. And also, supposedly the hold that they put him on, you know, where that was they asked for permission for that hold. Go watch the movie. I'm just saying what the movie says. Yeah. You know, it's called The Falling of Minneapolis. You get on Rumble, maybe YouTube. Maybe YouTube don't have it. But anyway.
Candace Owens did a great documentary called, I think it was called the Greatest Lie Ever Sold, the story of George Floyd. And she completely stripped it down as what a, you know, BS sort of thing.
Well, what they did to the police there were terrible. Yeah, it was just hatchet, political, you know, bullshit. Yeah. Anyway, let's concentrate on this. So here we go. So Jeremy, so fentanyl also set up operations in Indian reservations where law enforcement is scarce. Mm-hmm. Again, this is you said it, and you make a good point. This is organized drug penetration into our country. This is February 10th. Open borders again. The people in Arizona didn't want to have Carrie Lake. She would have shut this down. She ran on a policy of closing the friggin' borders. Yeah. Why did she lose? I don't know. Is it the best interest of the people? You know. So here, this is, and you could go on here, which is pretty interesting. But it says, on evening of March 17, 2020, a former Mexican police officer working cartel left in his hotel room, walked across the border. You know, anyway, it goes on here. It says, this is a great article. You should read this article. Let me just make this. This article is NBC News, actually, and Special Report. And it talks about how, here, look at this. He arrested this guy. This is police. Outlined in court papers, interviews, when investigators on this case. So this was an individual who arrested one of these cartel persons, helping bring down a drug trafficking ring that federal prosecutors said brought at least 2,000 pounds of meth and 700,000 fentanyl-laced pills into Montana from Mexico over 3 years. Now, that was
They brought in 2 pounds. Wait, go up.
2,000 pounds.
Go up a little bit.
Oh.
2 pounds of pure methamphetamine, enough, authorities said, to supply the entire town of Townsend, Montana, for, that's a population of
2,150.
Yeah, for multiple days.
Now,
they could be high on that for days.
Now, it could kill you, too.
The entire town.
So now, remember, listen, if you know, two things I can mention here. First of all, the fentanyl, but the methamphetamine is being made in Mexico.
Right.
It's made by ingredients from China.
Right.
Fentanyl is made predominantly in China. It's a synthetic opioid. Yeah. We don't make it. I don't think we make it in the United States. Trump was trying to shut down China and their fentanyl market. Get rid of that, Jeremy. I don't know why you have that there.
Didn't put it there. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to be careful what you're doing when you're going around. So, just go that. Yeah. The fentanyl, and it's coming from Mexico. Now, think about this. I feel bad for, you know, the George Floyd thing. Let's just concentrate on that again. Maybe it wouldn't have happened if he wasn't so jammed up on fentanyl and methamphetamines.
Sure.
Maybe.
Of course.
Right? And people say, well, you know, people use drugs. Well, you know, if they're poor and if it's available. So, again, it all ties together. Instead of looking at the one little thing, you have to look at the bigger picture. So it all ties in. So now this stuff is pouring into this country, into this country.
I'm liking words like that, Mike. That we can call it the drug, you know, the fentanyl pipeline, something better than just like some fentanyl coming in, you know, all that. Yeah, there's fentanyl gets in through there, you know, like it's happenstantial.
Yeah, I'm just reading this article here a little bit, and I was just trying to, you know, they basically, of course, you know, NBC News is kind of like, you know, to the left. They poo-poo it. No, now, just like with the border, all of a sudden now, people are going down there, and it's like, oh, my God, we're getting bum-rushed at the border. I've been watching The War Room with Steve Bannon Burkwam? I mean, they've been reporting this for the past 3 years. Yeah. This is not new. They've been pouring over. You can get rid of this, Jeremy. You could get out of this.
Yeah,
they've been pouring they've been pouring over this into the border. See, if you got to remember, if you look at not only what Trump said, but if you look at what the Democratic Socialist platform is, which is what you have the left, they want open borders. Why they want open borders? I can tell you, there's a lot of reasons. One, you know, a lot of Americans don't want to work, or we don't have enough workers, so they want to get cheap labor, which is kind of stupid. I mean, it's counterproductive to the people like the blue collar workers, because they're going to be displaced by these illegals that are coming in here.
Right.
So good luck on that. They want to so they get cheap labor, and probably they don't give them as much bullshit, you know. And you got people who are going to buy, you just said it, cell phones, consumer goods, yep. Walmart, you know, Home Depot. They're going to be doing stuff. So they're buying everything, you know. And they're giving them, the United States is giving them a lot of money. I was going to do an article here, too, that how now the VA
But every bill they try to get passed is providing these people with even more money.
Yes, they want incentive. Right. There's a thing called citizenship in this country.
It's not something that happened. It's something that's happening.
Happening right now. Well, you talked about you don't feel sovereign. The whole idea about being a United States citizen is being weaned down. If you let everybody into this country indiscriminately, then being a citizen is not nothing.
Yeah.
You're a resident now.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you could be a resident, you could be a subject, you could be a slave. You know? So my point, you can't do this. They also I think they want to have votes. I think maybe they think these people are going to vote for them. But we're
that was one of the suspicions, was that they were going to they wanted all these people in because they thought they were going to be Democratic votes when the Democrats needed them.
I'm going to ask you a question, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Do you believe or do you think that, say, 8 million people in the past 3 years coming into this country illegally, unvetted, and a lot of these people, I'm not saying they're bad people, but I see them, I treat them.
Sure.
A lot of them, they don't speak any English whatsoever.
Not a lick.
And a lot of them are third grade education.
Right.
Not that they're stupid. But they didn't, you know, in their countries,
it wasn't provided.
No, it wasn't provided.
Yeah.
And you know, you think about Mexico. I just had friends went to Mexico. Mexico is a beautiful city. Mexico City. But you know, it's not the rich people leaving to come to the United States.
The poor people.
Yeah, for opportunity, which I understand. I don't blame them. And it's also people who are sick. If you're a diabetic, you know, 30-year-old guy, insulin dependent diabetic, and you can't get care there, you get to the United States, man, you got to freak. You know, you're going to get care.
Right.
You know,
if
criminals too.
Situations were reversed, and Mexico was providing all of that. You know, to their citizens.
Well,
there'd be a flow of poor people from the United States.
If they won't let them there. They won't let them in. No.
Or trying to rush in.
They won't let them in. They won't let them in. They won't let them in.
They'll build a wall or something, maybe?
They won't let them in. No. And actually, you got a lot of Americans go there. It's a beautiful place to live. No. They're coming here because, you know, the system is allowing. It's sort of like a membrane, right. You know.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about physics and stuff, you know, like in science, you have a membrane that lets things in one way but not the other. The border is everybody could come in, but you can't go out. You know, you go down there, you can't just become a Mexican citizen like that. Or you go in there, they'll lock you up. No, that's bullshit. So what I'm saying is that we're getting here people who are medically, you know, needy.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's going to happen is they're going to fill the schools. They're going to be in the schools. And you're going to need to hire more Spanish-speaking teachers. You're going to have, and so, you know, they may be sending up the autistic, they may be sending up the people who have, you know, not well educated. And then you're going to have the hospitals being jammed up because a lot of these people have sick. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be doing this, but it should have been monitored. It should be, you can't have a bum rush to the border.
Sure.
Then what about your crime? You know, you grew up in New Jersey, right, Jeremy? And the United States. You have certain ideas what's allowable in the United States, what's morality.
Sure.
You come from another country, and you retort differently. There's different social mores, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A good example is in Europe. And I'm not going to say what religion or what people, but over there, you know, a gang rape of a young girl is you know, some places socially acceptable.
Right.
Having sex with a young girl, driving, drinking, you know, I mean, being out, beating a wife. I was down in the Caribbean. There's places where this guy was beating the shit out of his wife. And I remember the guy said, well, he's married to her. He can do what he wants with her.
Right.
There's places in the world still a woman is, you know, got half a vote or no vote.
Right.
So you got those people coming to this country. It's a whole different world, you know. Jeremy, keep that thing out of there, yeah, because you keep on, yeah. So my point is...
Nobody can see it, though.
No, but I can borrow it, you know. So my point is that, you know, we have a situation now where these drugs are coming into this country.
You know, people, I mean, even in our past culture, but still within our lifespan, there are films out there where, you know, young girls, 16...
Right.
Are sexualized. I mean, look at the movies like Porky's and Porky's Revenge.
Yeah, yeah,
and stuff
yeah.
like that.
You know, that's our country.
I
right,
mean,
right.
it was all just like stuff, and people were. It was acceptable. Now these generations, these new kids coming out, look at that stuff, and they're completely. It's not acceptable anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
and that is the. Is the, you know, the
right.
the horror show.
Right. Well, listen, I want you, how about, what's how much more time we have? I want to talk about more thing, which is another pet peeve. Okay, let's just talk about, so what I'm going to, let's just talk about one more thing. So our illustrious country to the north, Canada, which in my opinion, I was up there in Nova Scotia, and, you know, that's an interesting place. I think that the government right now is definitely, way to the left, way to the left.
Oh, yeah.
And, but up there they have euthanasia. So basically, it's, then the government pays for the medicine, okay?
Right.
So your health care is provided by the government.
Yeah.
It's, you know, sort of free. What they have, though, is they'll off you. If you are old, they will medically end your life. It's a procedure.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
a procedure.
It's a procedure.
Who else, you know, who else had the procedure? The Nazis. It's called, they had the Department of Euthanasia. So Canada calls it, I think, MAD, medically assisted whatever death. And anyway, so they just recently, they just recently were going to allow and bring into the procedure criteria mentally ill. So if you were schizophrenic, you know, so you could be 22 years old and mentally ill, they could kill you. And the government will pay for it. Okay.
That's crazy.
So now they have it in, I think, New Jersey. But go to the my iPad. I want to show you this. So this
what
is
what do they have in New Jersey?
No, euthanasia. I think they passed it. So now, in Virginia, lawmakers consider a proposal to legalize physician assisted death. Okay, and you know, so in 2022, Northern Virginia resident, she you know got news that she wanted to hear she had pancreatic cancer, and I understand this and. She had about a year live. A year and a half later, the 7-year-old defined the odds, but said she cleared out about the future. There's no cure for pancreatic cancer. Whoa, hang on. And it'll kill at some point. So she considered ending her life on what she calls her own terms. In 10 states and Washington, D.C., some patients with terminal illness can request medication from the doctor to end their lives. I think you could do it in New Jersey. A doctor or, in some states, nurse practitioner or physician assistant must deem the patient mentally competent and with the prognosis of 6 months or less to live. First of all, I'll make a couple points. Not even a doctor. Now you're talking about a nurse, practitioner, or physician's assistant, which is, you know, okay, but already, what's next? It's going to be a technician, okay? The next thing here is they're going to make you mentally competent, but then in the next shoe to drop in Canada, if you're not mentally competent, they could kill you. Now, and they said, if you have 6 months or less, I've been a doctor for many years. I'm not an oncologist, but I've dealt with tons of patients of mine who were dying. You know how many people who were supposed to die in 6 months who didn't? At least 50% of them.
Right.
I know people with pancreatic cancer right now with the right treatment are doing very well. Not very well. They're living.
Right.
So that's bullshit. Now, Nazi Germany started this bullshit, right, back in the 30s. What they did is they it was called the Department of Euthanasia. It sounded great. Let's get, if you're old, so you don't have to suffer, we get rid of you. It saves money. If you're born deformed, get rid of you. I had movies out there where, you know, girl broke her femur really bad, 8-year-old girl, severe injury. They put her in the hospital, they knock her out, get rid of her. You know, of course, what happened was then they started having laws where, you know, if you're a gypsy, to get rid of you. It was not a far cry to have the Jews exterminated. That was a medical procedure. Don't get. You got to go look and look at Germany when the trains rolled up to Auschwitz and all those other places. There was doctors and nurses there, taking you in, deciding who was going to be killed and not, based on health. If you were sick, you were done. You came there and you were coughing and everything, you were gone. Right. But if you look like you were healthy, they'll keep you going for a while. So my point is that, this is dangerous, dangerous shit, especially if the doctor gets paid for the procedure. What about this, Jeremy? You're 80 years old. I don't know. You got some, disease, and you got a $2 million life policy, and your three kids are, can't wait to kick you off. And the doctor says, listen, I need, we could knock him off. He's brain dead. I can't talk to him. You're like sitting there going, you're blowing bubbles, you're raking, no idea. And like, let's get, sign the papers. You're done. They get the $3 million.
Right.
So,
I saw that happen though, man. I saw that happen in these retirement villages.
So here you go. I think this is very important because I understand this is cuts across all things, and and it's scary. You know, some of the deaths are horrible. Yeah. And back in the day, I'll tell you this, Jeremy. Back in the day when I was doing my training, let me just see here. I just want to see has robbed me. I mean, you could go on here. The debate continues on. And here, I just want to, critics of the physician assistant death include some religious groups, disability rights advocates, and the American Medical Association. Last year, the AMA's legislative body voted against changing its stance on physician assisted death, which its code of ethics describes as fundamentally incompatible with the physician's role as a healer. Just why you don't have doctors in people who are sentenced to death in the prisons. Why don't you think you have doctors go in there and knock them off? I can knock, you get an anesthesiologist, they can knock you off in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But they don't do it. So, I understand people want to get, out. When I was doing my training in the hospital, there was doctors, people came in terminally ill. The doctors would put them on a morphine drip, right? And just drip them out and they would die peacefully. Yeah. Now, was that assisted suicide? Was that, was that right or wrong? It happened. And still today, when people are in hospice, I'm very sure, they're hurting, right? They just, drink that shit. And, so it happens. And nobody's going to say anything. So, yes, but it's very, how do you do this? How do you help somebody go over that, pass away without necessarily killing them, making them comfortable, but also not incentivizing their death?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And how do you know, like, okay, you get diagnosed. I mean, say you're schizophrenic or, it's terrible. Again, do you end somebody's life because of that? It's a tough one. But I can tell you right now, more and more states right here, how many states now have this in this country? And where does it go after that? It's got to be a physician. You have to be mentally capable, and you have to have a disease where you could be 6 months or 3 months. Who knows? Mm. Next thing is it could be a year. Next thing it's going to be, if you got Alzheimer's and people can't take care of you or you don't have the insurance. What if you don't have the insurance? I say, Jeremy, I could save your life. We're going to take your pancreas out. We're going to give you chemotherapy. It's probably going to cost $300,000. But for $6,000, we could knock you off. Now, if you don't have the money, what are you going to do? You have no alternative, or do nothing.
If we're running out of food as well, Soylent Green is people, isn't
it? So what is it here?
Suicide booths.
If the bill fails in Virginia, patients who have the time and means to travel and move through the bureaucracy and medical regulations may still have options. Last year, the governors of Oregon and Vermont signed laws allowing out-of-staters to access physician-assisted death. Green plans on establishing registry in Washington, D.C. to access option. Just so you know, Washington, D.C., out of everywhere in the United States, has the most late-term abortion clinics. Mm. You go there and get an abortion 2 days before you deliver. There's no consent. I mean, the 12-year-old girl can consent.
2 days before they
doesn't matter.
Graduate high school.
New Jersey could do the same thing. New Jersey is right behind Washington, D.C. You could have an abortion.
Insane.
at 12 years old without parents' consent, and the state will pay for it. And also now the transgender stuff. I'm waiting for that. That's the other shoe to drop, where, you know, they'll cut your whatever off, and you could be underage and the parents don't have anything to do with it. So this is where we're going, Jeremy. And I can tell you right now, it's very, very, very dangerous. And she's preparing for other contingencies. She said she doesn't know exactly how her final weeks or days will go. Nobody does, Green said. And that's really, I think, what people need to remember. You never know what's going to be in your future. Well, you will, though, if you sign the papers and the doctor comes in and knocks you out. But is that murder? Is that assisted suicide? And is suicide a good thing to do? And, you know, should we be fighting for ourselves? Suicide is on the rise. These people who OD on drugs, Jeremy, the 120,000, yeah. A lot of these people, it's a mistake. It's a poisoning. But there's a certain amount that don't want to live anymore.
Right.
You know, they.
Who's driving the bus, Mike?
Not me.
Not me.
Listen, I feel bad. You could go back, Jeremy. Put me put me back on the screen here. We'll give the long view. We're going to pack this in. I don't know, Jeremy, what the answer is anymore. I think we could talk about it. I think this is why we have a show here. We should discuss this stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's good that you have people who, like me, I'm 60. I'm going to be 67 years old. I lived a lot of years on this earth. Yeah. I don't know everything, but I do know this. I know that there's still, in this world, greed. There's still... people who are deceitful, mm-hmm. deceitful, greedy, evil, it's psychopathic. They don't care about anybody or anything. They just care about themselves. They're narcissistic. And unfortunately, you're going to have that. I had a discussion with somebody talking about, let's get rid of all the guns. And you have no guns, nowhere. No, we don't have guns. The military don't. I mean, and the guy says, well, how are you going to protect yourself from, like, people who want to hurt you? I'm like, exactly my point.
Cricket bats.
Right. So and Mao, Tosi Mao, who ran China, he said basically how you control the world is at the barrel of a gun. Mm-hmm. So we haven't evolved to the point where, things are better. The United States government, the United States and the Declaration of Independence, and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, not perfect, but it's. I tell you what, it's better than most of the world.
Right.
Now, we're crumbling. We have a lot of problems in this country. And, people saying the Middle East is better, parts of, like, you know, Taiwan are better, or even allegations Russia is nicer. And what the problem is that it's not that our system is bad. It's that we have a lot of bad people who got into the system, and a lot of people are not informed. Ben Franklin said it, if you could have a republic if you keep it. We need to have people in this country who are informed, not necessarily smart, or not saying people are dumb. No. You need to be informed about history. You need to be informed about what goes on. And also the Christian, Jewish Christian faith. If you don't believe in God, you're an atheist. That's a big problem. Yeah. And I can tell you, I hope that we go back and start looking at our Christian, roots. I just was reading.
Being open-minded too. I mean, it's not a bad thing to be.
No, but if you look at the FBI or whatever they're saying, Christian nationalists are the worst thing. I mean, you had that guy, what's his name, Rob Reiner, made a movie about Christian.
Oh,
you know,
they're
coming out. And so, you know what? I just say this is. What kind of world do you want to have? Do you want to have a world? See, Rob Reiner is worth about $200 million. So no matter, he could go live in China and be very, very, have a great life.
Meathead.
Yeah, but if you're, meatless. So, yeah, it cracks me up. When he was the character he played in All in the Family, he railed against the Vietnam War.
Lake Stivic.
He's railed against the Vietnam War, but now he's part of the elite Democratic Socialists who are pushing friggin' Ukraine.
Right.
I don't get it. Neil Young, right? Remember, he was bitching, moaning, and groaning about people on Twitter and YouTube, and he was railing against. He says, "I'm not going to be on YouTube or whatever he didn't or Twitter because of the shit, And he was the one back in the day that was railing against the government,
right?
About the Vietnam War and all that shit. Kent State, you know, four kids got shot by National Guard. So he was a rebel. He had the sideburns, long hair. Now he's on the other side because he's worth, you know, a couple hundred million dollars. Now he's the elitist.
Same sideburns, but
I don't get it. I don't understand how, you know, they could sit and look at themselves in the mirror, and you know, like another guy too, like Howard Stern. I listen to his. I don't listen to him anymore. What I mean, the guy is like,
I've never been a fan, but
But I mean, these people. So anyway. I feel bad now, like, you know, and you talk about, like, I don't want to get into, like, the, you know, celebrities, but there's people out there who listen to these celebrities who have nothing in common with them.
Right.
You know, this one girl, she's, you know, I don't want to say her name, you know, she drives in a jet. She's worth $1 billion. You know, they don't live in our world. They don't have to worry. They don't have to go in an airplane with a smelly bathroom. They don't have to worry about carrying a gun because they have security. Nobody's going to get close to them.
Right.
So my point is that, but people will listen to these elites who live in a different world. And that's another thing, too. You have these politicians who are passing laws that don't affect them. It affects us. So anyway, so what's the answer, Jeremy? The answer is God's in control. We'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting with this election. But I want everybody to, Jeremy, how about on our way out here, we talk about what we do. Can you put our I'm Dr. Catchmore again. This is Dr. Catchmore scrubbing up with Dr. Michael Catchmore. If you want to get a hold of us, I have a webpage, JerseyShoreFootAndLegCenter.com, JerseyShoreFootAndLegCenter.com. My email address is drcatchmore@comcast.net. If you want to send us a message, you know, you're not happy with what we say, or you can come on our show. We invite people to come on our show. We do have able to Zoom in. We have a phone. We didn't use it today, but we're going to, you know, fire it up again. We do this hopefully every week, and we invite comments. Jeremy, you didn't have the comments up today, so I don't know if we had any comments. Next time we have to put that up. Yeah. And anyway, listen, this is Jeremy. You want to say goodbye?
Yeah, hey. Bye, everybody, you know.
Jeremy was a little under the weather last week, so he's coming around.
I'm still getting myself back together.
He's a little in the fog.
A little hazy.
But he's not as witty, rhetorical self right now. But we're gonna bring him up. We'll bring him up. We're gonna give him some Red Bull next time. So that's, he's right. Got Red Bull there, but that's the yellow.
Bull. The industrial.
All right, everyone, listen. Everyone, have a nice week and weekend. We'll see you next week, next Tuesday. Check in and see how we're doing. Take care. Bye-bye.